This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, July 20th. I'm Audra McCabe. According to an official update last night, the Gold Mountain Fire saw a slight increase in acres to 37,900 and remains 13% contained. Yesterday's weather brought a few isolated thunderstorms north and far southeast of the fire area, but dry air across the region is limiting how much rainfall is reaching the ground. Aviation resources were busy this weekend, responding to the increase in fire activity. Helicopters delivered approximately 50,000 gallons of water to support firefighters on the ground, while reconnaissance aircraft and the UAS provided aerial intelligence and heat detection to guide suppression efforts. However, on Saturday, officials stated that efforts were impacted by an unauthorized drone flying within the temporary flight restriction area. When a drone enters the TFR, all firefighting aircraft have to leave the area immediately until the airspace is confirmed clear. Officials say this creates unnecessary delays in suppression efforts and places both pilots and firefighters at greater risk. On Thursday evening, a mudslide flooded a portion of East Portal Road near the Gunnison River. According to the Black Canyon National Park official Facebook page, the mudslide was the result of a thunderstorm that dropped significant rainfall at Curraconti National Recreation Area. The rain actually triggered at least three major mudslides on the East Portal Road. Extensive debris washed down from drainages above the roadway, covering significant lengths of the roadway with up to 6 feet of boulders, rocks, and mud. Debris also covered the entire East Portal campground and much of the East Portal picnic area. 21 trippers, campers, and anglers were temporarily stranded at the bottom of East Portal Road on July 16th. Responders were on scene by 5:45 p.m. and no injuries were reported. They were able to evacuate 18 visitors by midnight. One visitor on a motorcycle and two visitors with vehicle problems waited until the roadway was less saturated to depart in daylight, and were evacuated by 9 a.m. on July 17th. The campground, picnic area, and East Portal Road will be closed until assessments and repairs can be completed and all facilities are safe for public access. Those assessments and repairs are underway. There is currently no estimate of total damages, costs, or opening dates. The road is closed to all traffic, including pedestrians and bicyclists. Black Canyon of the Gunnison suffered from a significant wildfire last year, which may have contributed to Thursday's mudslides. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, wildfires can dramatically alter how water moves across the landscape. After a fire, vegetation is removed and soil properties change, reducing the ground's ability to absorb rainfall. As a result, even modest rainstorms can trigger dangerous flash floods and debris flows in steep, burned areas. A 33-year-old man has been accused of falsifying paramedic credentials in order to work on the Elk Fire. Gunnison County Sheriff Adam Murdy told the Montrose Daily Press that the man provided a paramedic license number that was not his and that he didn't have the credentials required to perform his duties. The man was a contract employee for a South Dakota company, which is reportedly looking into whether the man might have also worked on the Gold Mountain Fire. Murdy also told the Daily Press, "We don't have a clue where else he's been, who all he's provided paramedic services on. We don't know the extent of how long he's been engaged." Last night, President Donald Trump re-upped claims of election fraud and foreign interference in the 2020 election. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
Trump made assertions that have been repeatedly debunked about fraudulent mail ballots, non-citizens voting, and the accuracy of voting machines. Matt Crane heads the Colorado County Clerks Association.
You know, the president talked a lot about how there could be this fraud, the systems could be hacked and nobody would ever know it, and the election could be stolen. And that's just not true. And the reason that's not true is because Colorado, just like 98% of the rest of the country, votes on paper ballots. So we always have the original voter marked artifact.
Throughout the years, Colorado's election audits show that the machine vote tallies match the paper ballots and are accurate.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. The Colorado River is getting pulled in a lot of directions. Climate change means there's less supply, and cities and farms create lots of demand. Policymakers are likely just days away from managing its shrinking supply. With 40 million people and big industries depending on its water, environmental advocates say those new rules should leave some for the river itself. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Alex Hager reports.
Christian Fauser is waist-deep in the Colorado River, casting a fishing line into the current.
All around us are these crazy red rock walls of the beginning of the Grand Canyon. It's really, really special place.
But the thing that makes this stretch of river really special is the river itself.
We're in crystal clear water with a green bottom, so it's like sitting on top of some turquoise jewel.
The Colorado River doesn't usually look like this. It's usually a murky, muddy, chocolate milk brown. But here in northern Arizona, something's different.
A lot of that's due to the reservoir we have up here above the dam, and all of this being dam-fed.
Fauser, who's with the Arizona Wildlife Federation, says it's only flowing so clear because of human intervention. We are right downstream of Glen Canyon Dam, a concrete behemoth that creates Lake Powell and holds back the naturally flowing sediment that turns the river brown. The Colorado is not just a river. In a lot of ways, it gets treated like a plumbing system. Humans have dammed, diverted, and divided it to keep the West wet for people. But Sarah Porterfield with the conservation group Trout Unlimited says its water can work for people and nature.
This is not a zero-sum game.
In fact, she says, it has to do both.
Investing in watershed health is not an either-or. We need the system to be healthy from an ecological perspective in order for the rest of it to function.
She says if the river system isn't flowing and full of life, it can't deliver big amounts of clean water to the places people need it. Environmentalists agree we should leave enough water for the river itself. But as policymakers draw up new rules for managing it in the future, can we?
That's the one positive thing here is yes, we absolutely can. And there's a lot of good ideas on the table.
John Berggren is with the conservation nonprofit Western Resource Advocates. He says the first step is getting out of crisis mode. Right now, big reservoirs are dangerously low and getting propped up with Band-Aid fixes. But if you're a water manager with a long-term plan, Berggren says,
you can be much more proactive and thoughtful and careful and intentional about how you manage the river and include river health.
Once you do that, he says, you can release water from big reservoirs more tactically. For example, if you time it right, the same water that flows downstream to cities and crops can make life better for native fish.
They're going to move the water anyway. Let's do it in a way that actually benefits ecological conditions.
Berggren helped write a proposal suggesting how the federal government could work those ideas into its new rules for managing water. So far, those ideas are not included in the drafts, but he's optimistic they could still be installed in the next few years. But Mike Connor says there's also reason to look beyond that process.
Environmental protection is not a federal priority at this point in time.
Connor held the top role for Colorado River policy under the Obama administration. He says the federal government will make sure it follows the law, protect endangered species and that kind of thing. But it won't do much more. But smaller governments can.
The innovative approaches to integrate environmental protection, health of the river, and to protect the interests of water users are being developed, I think, at the state, local, and tribal level, quite frankly.
Regardless of their policies for the river, Connor says the feds can make a difference with their dollars. Big spending under the Biden administration helped those states, tribes, and local groups protect the environment. But that kind of money is not on the table now. Connor says it's worth paying to keep water in the river. It's not just about fish and plants. It's culture for tribes, a huge economy built on recreation, and an escape for people who want to get outside. People like Christian Fauser. He says he knows the river he's standing in is a place to fish and part of a bigger system.
The more you leave water in the river so that it can function and flow and operate properly, the more that that's going to turn around and feed back and take care of us.
Fauser says it's taking care of him, teaching patience and how to stand still. Alex Hager, reporting from Page, Arizona.
Firefighters battling the Gold Mountain Fire are mourning one of their own, and KVNF is collecting letters, cards, artwork, and thank you notes to deliver to the crews. At the Incident Command Post, there's a board set aside for messages of support, and right now it could use some filling. The firefighters don't need supplies, but they could use some kindness. Drop off your messages at the KVNF studio in Peonia on Grand Street, weekdays from 9 to 5, or at our Montrose studio at 19 North Cascade Avenue anytime. If we're not there, just slip them through our mail slot. We'll make sure your messages reach the firefighters. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audra McCabe.